Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from IssuesProgram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube, Phil's Recap and Review, or check out IssuesProgram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out IssuesProgram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Links, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your king, baby, not given Borgo. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. And joining me here today are our buddies, one half of the fantastic twin duo of Wicked Anime, Andrew Fleming.
Hi.
Yes, hi. And from 42's Anime Reviews, 42 Believer Sarah.
It's nice to be back, guys.
I know, it's been a while since you've been on No Borders, No Race, and for those who are wondering, where's Jonathan? Jonathan has a bit of the sickies.
He has a lot of the sickies. He's right before Anime Boston, which means he'll get over it by the time Anime Boston shows up, but I'm going to get it by the time Anime Boston shows up.
Oh, God, that's right. Oh, man. Be drinking lots of fluids, dude.
I actually have a glass of pineapple juice right here, which pineapple juice is good for the throat and killing bacteria in your throat. And I've been going to bed early. I'm even staying in the extra room we have here so that I'm not sleeping in the same room, like just incubating in the germs that are floating around in the room while he's sleeping. So,
you're becoming like the prime candidate for a health nut right now, okay?
Oh, I've always been like that. One of the employees at work is sick as well, and like as soon as he walked into our area, I was like, "That is far enough. You stay the hell right there."
Hand sanitizer, just rub it all over my body.
I am constantly putting hand sanitizer on my hands at work because there's so many students who come in, and I'm like, no, you are all sick or could be sick.
They're disgusting.
Or they're just high.
That too.
Yeah, where
one
I
time
work.
This guy came in and he was, oh, no, continue.
Oh, no. I would just say where I work, I always have to use hand sanitizer, but I want to hear about this one guy.
No, he came in and he... His eyes were red, and he just reeked so bad. And it's an enclosed room, so smell travels pretty fast. And it's just everyone could smell. And I had to go over and be like, hey, dude, you know what you should do? You should take whatever money you have in your wallet right now and go over to the bookstore and get yourself some munchies and some Febreze. And then you can come back.
You see, it's bad for me because like how my senses are very sensitive, I easily get a contact high very like quickly. Like, somebody walks into where I work, and if they reek of it, I'm, like, huddled down a little bit on the ground in a fetal position for a couple of minutes because, like, I'm trying to, like, get it all out of my system. I kid you not, it's, like, really bad.
Maybe that guy's jacket was just made of hemp. He's gonna smoke his jacket later.
Hey, at least do you get needles in the bathroom? Because we get needles in the bathroom.
That's Ohio for you.
Yeah. At one of my jobs, they had somebody OD in the bathroom before, and then that was when we bought locks for the bathroom.
Yep, that would do it.
Yeah, paying customers only. Oh. That's actually why they have those paying customers only, because people go and they do drugs in the store bathrooms. Fun fact.
We should probably change the subject to something a little bit more happier. You know, like Anime Boston 2017 is happening in a couple days.
Yeah. Let's get high, Anime Boston 2017.
High on life.
We are just getting final preparations as of this recording, and I'm very excited, and I know we posted about this officially on the Boston Bash Brigade page, but B3, Wicked Anime, 42's Anime Reviews, we've got something very, very special. And Manga Gamer 2, something very special for the first time ever. Something that we've been working on for the last, 4 years? Finally, we get to do an 18-plus game show.
We have some time, man. Oh my gosh, like, what a time do we have?
Yes. Practically, the Saturday of Anime Boston is Wicked Anime Day.
Hey, that's my show.
Yes, which is your show.
Woo!
Like, you're taking over, man. You are taking over the convention.
Maybe someday.
Maybe someday. Maybe,
maybe someday we'll get that Hall D. So my wife, who's not weird, is in panel room C that fills up to 1,000 people, where I don't know how the hell we got that for my wife, who's not weird. We didn't even fill the room we had for waifu last year. So hopefully, with that being in panel room C, it'll get a lot more traction and a lot more people coming to it. And especially because waifu is now an hour and a half this year, upgraded from an hour. So we have a ton more time to talk about stuff.
Yeah, that's really awesome. All right, so we should probably tell people when they should check out these panels, especially with it being just a couple days later.
Yeah, totally.
So, Waifu, what time is that at, and where can they find it again?
Waifu is on Saturday at 6:30 p.m., which is like prime time for some evening panels. In panel room C, which is the big-ass room on the third floor, all the way at the end, that fills up to 1,000 people. So you won't have any trouble getting into the panel, unless we're surprised with a huge line this year, which I don't really expect, but it's a pretty cool thing to think about. And so that's great. Actually, all of our panels are on Saturday. So if you're going to be there for Saturday, great. If you're going to be there late on Saturday, even better. And then at 10:30 is when you should probably start lining up for Who Cringed Last, because Who Cringed Last starts at 11. So it's a half hour ID check and room clear for the 18 plus panels. And then directly after that, we have a half hour break and then a half hour room clear and ID check once again. So an hour in the same exact room of Who Cringed Last, ironically, is Wicked Anime Presents Hardcore Anime.
Yes.
So the sister panel game show is being played right before the actual main show of Hardcore Anime.
So it's kind of like Who Cringed Last is going to be the opening act.
Kind of, yeah. And we actually specifically designed Who Cringed Last to not spoil any material within the Hardcore Anime panel.
Right.
So it actually works pretty well because it's kind of like a nice taste of it. But usually people don't stay for one panel after another. Usually they move on to something else. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But they have to clear the room anyway before the next panel starts because it's an 18-plus panel. So people who clear out of Who Cringed Last may not be able to get into Hardcore Anime anyway because the line is going to start forming before Who Cringed Last ends.
Right. That is true because that happened. That always happens. I remember, 2 years ago, we were in that room for Hardcore Anime and the line just went up and around.
Yeah, it went to the third, from the second floor to the third floor. And not everybody was able to get in, which is cool. I love it when a room fills. For some reason, that year was not as energetic. Last year was our most energetic year for Hardcore Anime, so we're going to try to make this year even better. We're going to encourage people to scream. We're going to encourage people to chant out stuff. We even have interactive video this year. So for people who are wondering what the hell that means and what I'm talking about, you should come to the panel and see what I mean by interactive video.
Cool. All right, yeah, so we should probably tell people what they can expect from Who Cringed Last as well. Or should that be left as a surprise too?
Well, why don't we talk about that at the very end of the show?
All right. Yeah, you know what? Let's do that.
Find out how to play Who Cringed Last.
That is a very good idea. So we're going to take our first music break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about what people should totally check out at Anime Boston 2017. And on this week's episode, we are going to be spinning songs from this past winter anime of 2017. And we're also going to sprinkle in a couple retro anime theme songs because of the theme of Anime Boston being of retro.
Which hardcore anime is also a retro theme this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, remember, as always, if you like what you hear, if you want to support these artists, you can find all these albums and singles on cdjapan.co.jp, Yes Asia, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. And today we're going to start off the show with the opening theme song to, I think, one of Andrew's favorites of this past winter season, and that is Gabriel Dropout.
Yeah, I love that theme song.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like, I know that I was a little bit harsh on my review of Gabriel Dropout, but I will admit that I feel that the writing from the Christmas episode and beyond has gotten significantly better.
Yeah, I think I still like the first episode the best. The first episode of Gabriel Dropout was still the best experience of Gabriel Dropout, but that opening theme song is just so damn catchy. I just listen to it every single time.
I know Sarah probably has no idea what we're talking about, though.
I have zero idea, but that's okay. You should play the song, and then maybe I'll have an idea.
Gabriel Dropout is cute, Sarah.
All right, here are the main cast from Gabriel Dropout. Miyu Tamita, Sore Onishi, Nomi Uzora, and Kana Hanazawa with the song Gabriel Dropkick.
Get away! than humans do. She stays so golden and solo, she's so number nine. She's incredible math, just incredible math. And is she really human? She's just a something.
From Scott Matthew, that was Yoko Kanno with Lithium Flower, the ending theme to the first season of Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex. Is it sad that that's now considered a retro anime series?
Is it really? Because I've never actually considered it to be a retro anime, but
well, it's
also
almost
from
15 years old.
That's not retro. Oh, is it? Oh my gosh.
Is it?
Yes. It unfortunately is.
Because I always think of it like, I mean, Thundercats is one of my favorite shows ever. But when I was born, Thundercats was already an old show, quote unquote, old show.
There are people that are like graduating from high school that were like 1 year old when this show was out.
Exactly. So like shows that I thought were old back when I was a little kid. Now the shows that we watched when I was a little kid and actually saw them come out, those are old.
Yes.
So holy crap, like we got like a bunch of, I mean, kids going into high school didn't even get to see the 90s. What?
No, they never got to experience like Tenchi Muyo and Outlaw Star. They probably didn't even get to experience Fooly Cooly either.
So like this whole retro year of Anime Boston, like half of their audience is going to be like, I don't know any of these shows.
Well, speaking of Anime Boston, as we mentioned, let's talk about panels. Things that people should check out, events, concerts, because there's some pretty, pretty cool stuff that's happening at Anime Boston. And it's actually starting pretty early because I'm looking at the schedule and they're already doing like video screening stuff at like 7 in the morning on Friday.
Yeah, they're open up. Are they opening up early this year?
I guess so.
I thought the con usually opened up at 8.
Well, this one looks like it's opening at 7, unless, or it could be, like, opening at 6:30.
Well, it looks like on the video room starts at 7 a.m. on Friday. And then the panels don't start happening until 9 a.m., which is cool. So it gives some people time to actually get into the convention. But yeah, there are actually people who are going to be there at like 7 a.m. to just go into the video room and hang out. I wonder how many people actually do that.
Quite a few. I've seen it happen before in the past.
But the thing is that at cons, I so very rarely do see people in those video rooms.
I see people in there every once in a while. Even last year, I went into a video room just to sit down, and we watched the Dragon Ball Z abridged movie, and then it went on to a weird documentary about anime conventions, but made with an anime. It was weird. I didn't really know how to explain it.
No, I was there for that. I remember you were watching that.
Yeah, and it was cool. It was kind of a fun experience just to sit and relax and watch anime for a little while. And I've never really, at bigger conventions, I don't usually use the video rooms, but at smaller conventions, I've used the video rooms. Though it gets weird when you're watching hentai in like the smaller rooms, because then you're in like a tiny room, like sitting next to people, and you're like, what are we doing?
Sitting on our hands for one thing.
Yeah, do I hold you? What happens?
Do I give you eye contact?
Yeah, no, nobody looks at each other.
No, nobody looks at each other.
Unless you get that one guy who's like nudging you with his elbow.
But why is he nudging you? That's the part I'm scared about.
Oh, snap. Oh, holy crap. Video Riverway at 8 p.m. at night. They're showing Riding Bean.
Oh.
Have you guys seen Riding Bean?
No.
Wild
dude, that. Yeah, dude, that's a classic. That Riding Bean is freaking awesome. But I already have Riding Bean. But they're probably showing it because it's being re-released on DVD. Good to know.
Yeah, it's being remastered. Hopefully it'll lead towards a Gunsmith Cats announcement.
Oh my gosh, I want Gunsmith Cats so bad.
I think everybody does.
Uh-huh. Show is awesome.
We have the, you know, opening ceremonies, which is pretty fun. You know, you get a nice introduction from every single guest that's there. You get a couple skits here and there.
Honestly, every year I go to the opening ceremonies, I'm usually like, that was fun. I probably won't do that next year. And then I'll go to the opening ceremonies and say, that was fun, but I probably won't do it next year. And then the next year I'll be like, that was fun, but I'll probably... You know, but I always go to the opening ceremonies. I mean, you're at an anime convention, go to the opening ceremonies. You know, why not?
It's a nice sort of nice to meet you sort of thing. You're here. Welcome. It's time to have fun this weekend.
It really is. And you get some interesting experiences. Sometimes, oh my gosh, like 4 years ago when Origa did a surprise song, she actually came out on stage, sang the opening theme song to Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, like live, like while a Ghost in the Shell AMV was playing behind her, and totally unwarranted. She just, they surprised us with that plan. It was a once in a lifetime experience, literally, because like literally a year later, she passed away.
Yeah, that was a really big shocker. So it was,
I will cherish that memory forever.
Mm, yeah. Cause I actually, here's the thing, because I did an interview with Origa and Raj, who also did a lot of work with Yoko Kanno, and it was me, John, and Phil the Issues Guy. That was it for the interview panel. Mm-hmm. Like, I was shocked that no one else got in for it or wanted to do an interview with them. So being able to be in the same room with them, it was a real privilege, especially with Origa.
Yeah, so opening ceremonies always have something a little bit surprising to them that always makes me want to go, and they always up the quality of it as well each year. I always like to see, like, the same way that we do with our shows, the quality just keeps going up and up and up and up because you learn from previous years. It's the same thing with a show. You'll see it as far as conventions go every year. They up their game.
Yeah.
So I always like to go. Mm-hmm. How about you, Sarah? What's your opinion on opening ceremonies?
I like them. I remember, I think my favorite memory was from a couple years ago when Mona Marshall came out on stage and and then she had them turn the lights on, and then she asked anyone who was dressed up to stand up and like basically honoring all the hard work and the effort that everyone who did dress up put in and then came out to this convention, and she's like, I just want to recognize that, and that's a moment that I really treasure. So I probably won't skip opening ceremonies.
Yeah,
it's just fun.
Yeah, and it one of the things, kind of going along the same lines as you, Sarah, I really, really loved it. Like, just seeing when Lisa came to America, because Sword Art Online was huge at the time. So Lisa was doing a concert, and they asked, you know, who was a Lisa fan, and tons of people stood up and went nuts for Lisa, and Lisa was shocked. Like, she was just like, she legitimately had no idea that anybody knew who she was in the United States. And just to see that on stage, this Japanese guest who came to this convention thinking that nobody knew who she was, actually did know who she was. Mm. And that was something special, because you got to see this star see fans from across the world that she had no idea existed.
Right.
It was great. It was so great.
Another thing that I'll never forget about opening ceremonies is when the Godzilla actor got up on stage and was just like shaking his hand for like 10 minutes or something like that.
What it was he was like leaning back and forth between his translator and just seeing what he was jotting down.
Yeah, because the translator wasn't doing anything for him. He was just standing there writing. So he was just like, okay.
And I couldn't stop laughing through that whole exchange. And that's things that you wouldn't get to experience if you don't go to opening ceremonies.
It's true.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's our little spiel on opening ceremonies and why you should probably go. It's very special to kick off a con with the convention itself.
Absolutely.
And I also like going to closing ceremonies.
I like closing ceremonies too. You know, it's sad, but it's a good send off. Mm-hmm. You know,
they tell you how much they raised through charity this year, and then they show all the AMVs that won.
Boo.
And then they reveal the theme for next year, which I always
yes. I love that, dude. So
I love it. Remember last year when everybody just started running back and forth on stage just for the hell of it?
Well, see, and that's the Sarah, you mentioned they announced the next theme for the year. And that is like, because the general energy of the crowd that goes, when they announced that retro was the theme, you could tell that the otaku from all the way from the 80s right up to the 90s just freaked the hell out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just lost our minds that we were doing a retro theme, because like, that's our jam. Yeah. That's why we're here.
Opposite of the sports announcement.
Yes, that's what I was just about to mention, was when they announced as sports, and there was like dead silence, and then me up in the front row going,
And you see, the thing is because the year that we were on that they announced sports. Kaiju versus Mecha.
And then they downgrade it to sports.
Yeah, because the year before that, what was the year before Kaiju versus Mecha?
It was the Magical Girl one.
Yes, Magical Girl. It was Magic. And so when we went from the Magic theme and then they announced Kaiju versus Mecha, that was probably the loudest I've ever heard the anime Boston crowd get. That was loud. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then the next year it was like really quiet.
Sports!
So if you go onto the Anime Boston YouTube page and you like watch the closing ceremonies clip they have up, you'll notice they cut off really quickly after they announce the theme to like, you know, try and cut out the part where it shows that nobody's cheering.
Really?
Yeah. I noticed that. I went back and I was like, they cut that shit real close. They cut it really close so you couldn't hear.
You can always go to the Wicked Anime video coverage, and we actually have. I think you can hear James from Wicked Anime go, "Can we do Kaiju versus Mecha again?"
I'm pretty sure I am up in the front row of that announcement, and I was like screaming my head off because I had just gotten into like Haikyuu and Free and all that.
Yeah,
which is why I thought more people would be excited about it.
But, you know, Otaku.
I know, and then I was like, well, you also... I think it didn't help with the way they announced it as Field Day and not, like, sports anime.
Yeah.
I don't think that helped people's perception.
Well, the thing is, because Field Day is such, like, a staple in anime, especially in, like, anime comedies, like in Azumanga Daioh and Lucky Star.
Yeah.
Recently in Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid.
But here in the States, we don't know it as Field Day. Like, that's such a specific... thing to know, mention
which
it
is
as.
A shame. It would be cool just to have like a, it would have been cool to have like a field day sort of aspect in school. Yeah.
What were we talking about before we got onto the theme?
We were talking about what people should check out at Anime Boston.
And we did, we covered opening and closing ceremonies.
Well,
and that's
it.
As far as we've gotten.
Well, one panel that really got my attention features one of the guests, one of my favorite voice actresses, Brina Palancia. Mm-hmm. And she's doing a thing there called Brina Palancia Singing About Stuff, where she's going to be talking about her experience voice acting, her original music that she writes, some of the characters that she does in these songs. It's, I don't know if either of you are like her Facebook page or not, but she is a really talented singer and musician outside of what she does in anime.
Yeah, I knew she was talented at singing because I follow her Twitter account.
Oh, okay. So you know.
Yeah.
So that's
she's good.
I follow her on Twitter, but I don't actually look at my Twitter updates.
Okay.
Just when people talk to us on Twitter.
Yeah. So this is an event, Brina Palancia Singing About Stuff, which is happening on Friday, March 31st from 1:30 to 2:30 at the Panel Grand at the Grand Ballroom.
Here's what I'm noticing about this year as far as the fan panels go. There are multiple panels on opening and closing theme songs. That's one of the things. So there's a panel called The Art of the OP. There's one called Opening and Closings, What's Your Favorite? And then another theme that I see is there's multiple Moe panels. There's When Moe Goes Bad. There's The Evolution of Moe. And so it's really interesting that as anime fandom starts aging, there are actually different themes that are getting more popular amongst anime fans. And you can really see it amongst the panels that they choose to present, which we can, we could make panels on the same thing, and I would love to. They sound like they'd be a blast to talk about. But those are actually particularly interesting to me. I would love to hear people talk about the art of the opening or what makes a good opening and closing theme song, what they have to say. And Moe stuff. The Moe stuff is just fun, because you know you can have bad Moe and like you can make fun of it, or you could have good Moe and be like, why is it good Moe? Why do you enjoy this Moe? I actually am also interested in another panel, but it's during the hardcore anime panel. So we're going to be competing with this panel right next door to us. It's called So Your Anime Had a Baby. And and it really, really interested me because it's going off the idea that no idea is original, which is true.
Yeah.
The anime that you say this is my favorite anime is not, you know, the original idea that idea sprung from. So this panel has been created to find the root anime of series that we all call our favorites. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool, but it's at 1 o'clock in the morning and it's a non-18 plus panel. So I don't know how popular it's actually going to be, which is kind of disappointing because I actually really would like to see this panel if I wasn't presenting my own panel at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Which can be a little bit disappointing, which I can totally understand.
Yeah, but it's good for people who are under the age of 18 but still want to stay at the convention late, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, there's still something for you to do.
Yeah,
right. They want to defy their bedtime logic.
Yeah, and I think that's a good idea, but man, would I have loved to see this panel. Because it says, come see the roots of your favorite anime series and be surprised at the amount of time we spent finding every anime's parent. So I would even like to be like, hey, my favorite anime is Elfin Lied. What can you tell me, like, where this whole idea sprung from, you know?
That actually reminds me of something that I did in one of my panels, because I ended up tracing Evangelion's parent anime, I guess you could call it in their terms, back to a female sports anime from the 80s.
Yeah.
So that was just really fun, and I'm like, that's this concept of learning others in the same vein sounds really, really appealing.
I'm really bummed that we're not going to be able to see it.
Maybe next year it'll be on a different time.
Maybe they gave it a crappy time slot because this is their first year.
Yeah, exactly. But we shall see. We shall see.
I would like to shout out one of my friends' panels who's coming to Anime Boston. And he's Prof or Professor Otaku on Twitter and YouTube. And he's doing his panel, A Visual History of Mecha, because he's really, really into mecha. And that's at 4 p.m. In panel room 309.
I actually think I looked at that one. What is Professor? I know you've said that name to us before. Where have we heard that name before?
So Prof is one of the original founding members of the Desudes Brigade with Tristan.
Okay.
And so he helped found that with Tristan and a couple other people, and he's still around doing YouTube stuff. And he makes videos a lot of times on, you know, mecha and then old anime. He's really, really, really into retro older anime, which is why I know he was really excited for this con.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
What is Tristan still coming this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
Cool.
Very, very cool.
All right. So here's the question.
I'm pretty excited.
So here's a question for you. What do you think this super secret event's going to be on Friday in Hall D at 4 p.m.
Well, see, since you mentioned that, I was looking on the schedule, and it looks like there's another super secret event. I think it was on Sunday at, like, really early in the morning or something. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I was looking at the same one you were.
There's Crunchyroll Spring Premiere event.
Right, at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday, which I really wouldn't want to check out.
Yeah, I think that's supposed to be that. That sounds like it'd be really cool. Was that the one that we got the email for with that anonymous noise, the shoujo anime?
That's Sentai Filmworks. They're doing a premiere of that show on 3 p.m. on Saturday.
Okay. I want to go see all the Attack on Titan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know I probably won't. But I would like to, because right. the thing about going to see premiere panels, like watch parties and stuff like that, is you're going to see it eventually anyway, because the show is coming out regardless of whether you see it early or not. You know, it's just about, do you see it early or do you see it later when it actually gets released? But I would like to see that. I would also like to check out the Attack on Titan Junior High, because I freaking loved Attack on Titan Junior High. It was one of those things like, do you want to watch that? Yeah, I want to watch that. It looks cute. And I like Attack on Titan, you know, and it was and Yuko Bayashi.
Burg steak.
Yeah. And Yuko Bayashi as Sasha just always makes my heart melt. So like Sasha's my favorite character and Yuko Bayashi's my favorite voice actress from Japan. So it's just an easy mix. So I'm just like, yeah, Yuko Bayashi, I'm going to watch it now. Now they're actually playing Junior High. At Anime Boston, so I'm in.
Are you guys going to go to the Puffyami Yumi concert?
Oh yeah, that's on my
agenda. Most likely, no, but I will try. Because I never usually go to the concerts, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to go, because I really don't think there's anything else going on at the moment or at that time. Other than because the dealer's room actually is going to be closed, so I'm not going to be in the dealer's room.
Right.
which if you guys scroll down to if you're at the top of the page of the convention schedule and you scroll down right below cosplay photo shoots, it says dealer's room, Heinz, first floor, halls A and B, Friday, 12 p.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Sunday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's where I'll be.
Don't tell them that, because then all the good stuff will be gone.
It's all right. I have a Crunchyroll premium account, so I get to go in an hour early every day.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I am actually really, really looking forward to going to the Artist Alley this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
it looks big this year.
Yeah, it looks a lot bigger than usual.
It looks bigger than usual, and also my friend Jennifer, because every year we go to Anime Boston, she always, that's the first thing she does, is she wants to go to the Artist Alley. That way she can get commissions in for artists, because if you don't go the first day to commission them, their commissions get filled up.
Yeah.
So you have to go the first day. And I kind of want to commission some art. She kind of roped me into that kind of thing. I've never done it before, but I really want to. And I want to see if there's any good Zelda Breath of the Wild art, because I need art of my waifu Urbosa.
there's There's actually only one artist at Artist Alley that I know who they are. Like, I follow them, and I've been following them for a very long time. There's only one he's going to be there, but that's the only one that I really know. Everybody else is always, like, in and out, and you never know who's actually going to be there. And every year, I've never really settled on an artist that I'm just like, wow, I really love their art and I must buy it. So like, what would you recommend to look for as far as, like, an artist that you really like?
This is going off of things that Jennifer has, you know, talked to me about, because she knows way more about it. What she likes to do is she likes to go into the Artist Alley and then find all of the independent artists who have released, like, books or, like, comics. Yep. And she'll, even if she's never heard of the artist before, she'll buy the book because she feels like she's supporting them. And then she'll, like, look at it and then read it and see if she enjoys it. Other than that, she just looks around, finds an artist who she might like the style of, even if they're not perfect. If she likes the style, she'll go up and then ask them for a commission of a character that she likes, and see, you know, basically give them their name, the character's name, so they can look up reference material and then kind of give them a direction for it. So last year when she commissioned my lewd Hisoka picture, basically she just went to the artist and said, this is the character, can you just draw him in, like, a vaguely lewd pose? And so then the artist was like, sure, I'll do that. And then he's lifting his shirt up to show his happy trail, and that's about it.
Is that picture now hanging up near your little Hisoka glow?
It's the backdrop of my Hisoka shrine. Yes.
There's she has 100% truth in her words. If you buy the books and stuff from an artist, you definitely have supported them, especially because, you know, that's their blood, sweat, and tears that they put into everything. So if you buy it, regardless of whether you know them or not, and you are supporting them. See, my issue is this is going to sound really douchey and really uncomfortable, but I don't mean it in the way that I'm about to say it. And I never can end up buying art from an Artist Alley, because I look at artwork and I just say, I could do that too, you know, because it's just what I do. You know, like,
well, I think it's more what she likes to do. She likes to commission multiple artists because she's also an artist, and she just likes to appreciate other styles. Mm-hmm. And then she'll commission things from artists that inspire her. And then she can kind of look back on them later and go, oh, yeah, I really liked it because of this reason. And then it inspires her.
See, I think one of my issues is, well, besides the fact that I, like, look at an artist and be like, that's really good, I should draw that myself. I really like original art. And when you go to a convention, it's a lot of fan art. And I really love seeing people's original characters, because that's what I do. I do original designs and I do characters and I just, you know, doodle things off the top of my head. And so if I see, like, a character that's like, wow, that is a really well-designed character, then I would buy it, because that would be inspirational. But a lot of people do, you know, it's like, oh, this is my Fate Stay Night artwork, or oh, this is my Haikyuu artwork. And I just, like, oh, like, I want to see, like, what you can do on your own, kind of a thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, and I think that's why she also buys the books, because she likes that a lot. And that's all obviously, like, original story and original, like, from the ground up, and definitely their blood, sweat, and tears, like you
mentioned.
Right.
It's not like, it's not like a doujin. Although, you could say, like, when you go to the dealer's room and you buy doujins, you're basically buying fan art.
No, that's actually really true. And again, I don't want to make it sound like I don't appreciate artists, because, one, I am one of you, and we're on the same team. And I love you guys. It's just, I don't know what it is, you know, like, I go in and maybe I just haven't found an artist that I'm just like, oh man, I gotta buy from them. But I don't know. Do I sound awful, like a terrible person?
No.
We understand where you're coming from.
You're having trouble finding what to buy. That's not too bad. It's just you're having trouble.
Right. You're budgeting yourself, basically.
I am, but because I love supporting artists, but I can never find an artist that is just like, you, all of my money. you take it. I don't know.
I did get a pretty good print last year, and it was of like a Victorian lady, but she's only got one big Cyclops eye, and she's holding a cat that has four smaller eyes.
Interesting.
And I just like that because it was like pretty, but also creepy at the same time.
Lovecraftian, it seems.
Almost, yeah, almost.
I'm actually clicking through all the artists right now to see if there's anybody that really strikes me. I'm clicking on the names, and it's just like they could make it sound like they could make cool. There's one called Spoop Booty and Poots, and then like so I'm trying. So I looked at that one, and then and you mentioned Dojin art too. That's another thing that because it's really difficult to print books, like that is a super difficult process. It's so annoying and takes up a ton of time. But I really wish, like, it would be so cool if more artists actually had books there, because those are great. Yeah. Those are so, because then, like, you're not just buying a picture that you're hanging up on the wall. You're actually giving them something to hold and look through later. Like, that's awesome. But, again, it's very hard to do. Very, very, very hard to do. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. So anything else on the schedule that sticks out for you?
I don't know. I'm kind of sad that there's like only one panel that has the actual word Yaoi in it.
Did you do Control F?
I did Control F.
And then you typed in Yaoi and it only said one matching.
There was only one. I mean, there's a couple other ones that have LGBT or BL in the title. But it's just, I'm like, but there's so much fun thing. I really just have to do my Yaoi panel next year. There's no question about it.
I'm surprised you haven't. Like, what's the matter with
you? Yeah,
because I've been testing it out at smaller cons because I don't have a lot of experience with panels, and I don't want to put on a panel at something like Anime Boston where I know there's going to be a lot more people.
Then you
showing
can have
up.
Like then you could have like me or Jonathan MC for you. And we'll rouse the crowd, and then we'll pass the panel off to you. Because obviously, you know, Jonathan and I are very successful at emceeing panels. So,
yes.
You know, so
yes.
We could totally just, you know, reel them in real good for you and then be like, here's Sarah with her Yaoi gay stuff.
Well, the thing is that it's not even about, like, this is a panel for fans of Yaoi. It's that my panel is a panel that is, let's laugh at really shitty Yaoi, and anyone can enjoy this.
Big honestly, hands all around!
Honestly, I would love to do that with you. I would totally do that with you. I would.
I've been able to refine it a little bit more with these last couple times I did it, and I have a really good idea of how I want to change it up and like really bring it to the next level, and then I'm gonna bring it in because it's gonna be fun. Last time I did it, literally I'm like looking in the hallway for like people maybe walking down gonna come to my panel because there was no one at this convention, and these
just
people came
weeds.
By and they saw my PowerPoint was up and like ready, and they're like, oh no, this is the butt fuck one, we have to leave.
I don't mean to laugh at you, but that's just a funny way to put it.
Sad. Alright, that means that John, that means you'll have to recruit Jonathan and I, and we'll help you out.
Thank you. Yes. Anime Boston 2018, it'll be the year of the Yaoi panel.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And featuring Wicked Anime will be like, what? Wicked Anime? Yeah. The anime's at this panel.
What be like, oh, their other panels are pretty good, so maybe this one is going to be good.
I still don't think anybody knows us by name. I'm pretty sure, like, just having Wicked Anime in front of it, it has no bearing on that whatsoever.
But you did have that one fan who knew you.
We have a couple fans that know us, actually. Like, we have a couple people that come to our panels each year and be like, I come every year. Even we went to AAC, and we did the hardcore anime panel in Waifu at AAC, and we got a couple people would be like, I'm going to come see you at Anime Boston. So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
Hopefully, I don't know if they're actually going to follow through or not, who knows, but if they do, it'll be really neat. But we usually do recruit some people into the Wicked fans, come Anime Boston. So yeah, it's a good time. It's such a great experience, panels and doing that stuff. It's great.
Totally. Well, this is why I'm a little bit, like, nervous, because this is, like, the first time that I'm going to be co-hosting a panel with you guys, and, like, there's that big boost of confidence that I have when I have nobody surrounding me, and then there's that part of me that feels like, what's going to happen when there are people around me? Am I going to, like, freeze up or what? I'm, like, I'm a little scared, but at the same time, I'm excited.
It's... When we get there, dude, you'll feel the nerves. It's pretty nerve-wracking because you're just like, oh, man, I don't think anybody's going to come. I don't know what's going to – it happens every time. I mean, even with hardcore anime, like we've done it for – this is our fifth year. Our fifth freaking year doing hardcore anime. And I still – every time a panel starts, I still be like, oh, this is going to be a year that nobody shows up. Oh, man, I guess – you know –
It's it like just happens all nobody time. Came to my birthday party. That sort of feeling.
Kinda. Yeah.
Yeah. But it should be good.
It'll be really great. It'll be so good. I mean, even just think of AAC. You know, we had some small panels, and we filled Waifu in that room for, like, you know, 30 people, and that was great. You know, that was a blast.
Oh, yeah.
I almost feel like Waifu should be in a panel that size because it was so intimate. It was so good.
Well, it's going to be totally different when you're in the room for almost 1,000 people.
Oh, tell me about it. What the heck? I don't even get why they gave
it. It's like the
I don't
complete opposite of, like, intimate.
Exactly.
So anything else that stands out?
Not anything that stands out, but I do have a tip for artists in Artist Alley. Stop drawing Steven Universe. We get it. Like, we get it. You like Steven Universe. And stop drawing things like Steven Universe. We get it. You can draw Steven Universe. Draw your own style. That's it.
I don't disagree, to be completely honest.
Me neither.
And you walk,
so, yeah.
You walk into an artist alley, and everybody is drawing like Steven Universe. You know, it's just like, it's not Steven Universe.
Are you a crystal gem? Oh, yeah, I'm a crystal gem.
This is what this show would look like if it were in the Steven Universe. And I'm like, I get it. Yeah, can you draw your own style, please? I get it. It's like, also, okay.
But I've been drawing Steven Universe style, then I lost my original style. I don't know what to do.
I also recommend if there's any, because I am into Lolita fashion, if there's any prospective Lolitas going to Anime Boston, please don't buy Lolita from the dealer's room, because everything there is overpriced to shit. You can find way cheaper stuff online. Don't think that you have to buy Lolita at a con.
Oh, this is a different... This is a different episode of Wicked Anime. We already did this episode of Wicked Anime.
Really?
Yeah, we did.
We actually, for the first episode of Con Month this year, was what not to buy at an anime convention.
Yeah.
Did you mention Lolita?
No. Yeah, Sarah, we have no idea what Lolita is except for you.
We're guys!
Well, this is what you can add for next time is don't buy Lolita at cons. Please don't.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
All I could think of was secondhand hentai.
Second.
Well, I mean, technically, a lot of times Lolitas will do swap meets, and then it'll be, like, a lot cheaper. But if there's, like, someone in the dealer's room who has, like, Lolita dresses for sale, do not buy from them because they're overpriced. And that's all I have to say about that.
I can picture a Lolita, like, swap meet happening and everybody having those, like, 19th century spectacles that they keep on a stick. Just look at, I declare this is nice. Oh boy. Oh, geez.
I do appreciate your Lolita style.
Please pass the macarons and tea.
It's so like, fluffy. I'm not even,
like, I know this is true, so it's okay.
The frills on this dress are exquisite.
I can tell the lace is very high quality.
I say, is this taffeta?
I'm sorry, I'm just kidding about that. Give me a second.
Are we good at Lolita, Sarah? How good are we at Lolita?
You know what? A plus.
Yes.
I knew reading Jane Austen in high school would pay off.
Wicked Anime presents Lolita Fashion.
I would love to get, like, a really, like, crappy bodyline Lolita dress for like all three of you, and you guys would put it on and be like, oh, we're Lolita, and then you guys would just tear it off five seconds later.
Yeah, how funny would that be to make a panel, like, for example, we make a panel about Lolita, but we have no idea what we're talking about. So the whole panel is us sounding like we know exactly what we're talking about, but everybody in the audience is just like, these guys have no idea what they're talking about.
So long as we speak in really bad British accents.
Well, see, and that's the thing, is that if you are a Lolita who's going to a con, all you have to do to find other Lolitas at that con is look at the schedule and find out where the Lolita 101 beginners panel is going to be. And every single Lolita goes to that panel, even if they've already been into Lolita fashion for years, just because they know Lolitas will congregate there.
Okay,
because it's like the only Lolita panel there.
So at 6 p.m. in panel room 302 and 304 is Frills and Bills, a Lolita shopping guide. Next.
I see Frills and Bills, Lolita shopping.
At 12 p.m. on Sunday in panel room C, Mo Frills, No Problems, a plus size Lolita guide.
And then on Saturday at 10 a.m., the Boston Lolita Society presents Lolita 101 in panel Constitution 1.
Oh, yep, there it is. So, yes, we do have Lolita panels.
Three Lolita panels. That's three times more than Yaoi panels.
There was two Lolita panels last year, so this is a step up. Now we got three.
Yeah, and the one on Sunday is for bigger Lolitas. Mm.
I hope that the person who's talking in that panel knows what the fuck they're talking about, because most people who talk about plus size Lolita don't.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
What you have to do is you have to tighten up your corset in order to get into your Lolita fashion.
This is very tangentially related to Anime Boston, but I am technically a plus size Lolita because I'm fat by Japanese standards. So I'm a plus size Lolita. So I have to use plus size Lolita techniques. So I know that there's a lot of people out there who don't know how to plus size Lolita properly.
I guess. Because I never thought of it that way. It's just like, Sarah's a plus-size Lolita. Because that didn't register with me. I was like,
I've always seen you as skinny.
It doesn't make sense because from any normal American perspective, I'm just average size.
Yeah. You're good. You're fit. You are fit.
That's so funny.
But if you were to travel to Japan, oh, look, American fat lady. Har.
Look at that fatty.
But
she must be 110 pounds, that fatty.
If there's any Lolita panel that you do go to at Anime Boston and you're not into Lolita, probably the Boston Lolita Society one, because I know people in that com, the Boston com, and I know that they're well-dressed and they know what they're doing.
That is the Mo Frills, No Problems, Plus Size Lolita Guide is Boston Lolita Society.
It's them too?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, then, good. They have someone who knows what they're talking about.
Maybe. It's going to be the one person who just started getting into it about a week ago.
Oh, my God. So, like, I tweeted about, like, Crunchyroll technically has a Lolita dress for sale on their shop, and it's not Lolita.
Interesting. Girls, what's up?
I probably should make some videos about Lolita because I happen to just know a lot about it. And
you probably
maybe
should.
I should share it.
Wasn't that the last one you did for 42's anime reviews?
No, it was a crappy unboxing video.
Hey, unboxing videos can be fun.
I know they can be fun. I understand why people don't like them.
Oh, this artist is really good. Sorry,
are you getting? Are you getting actually maybe excited about an artist at Anime Boston?
No, it's not anything I would buy. Like, because that's my normal thing. I walk through the artist alley and I'm just like, wow, they're really good. But I don't buy anything from them. And it's kind of, again, like, I'm just like, wow, that's really douchey. But like, I just, but no, I appreciate the art, but I don't ever buy it. Which I hate to admit. I hate admitting that.
Should we take a quick break and then we'll dive into Winter Anime 2017?
Sure.
Because sounds is good. There anything else that we want to talk about that people should check out at Anime Boston 2017?
If we can always go back.
Oh, yeah. We totally can. All right. So what we're about to spin right now is one of the more well-known retro anime themes. This is from the anime Rurouni Kenshin, or Samurai Axes, some people like to call him sometimes. Make up your mind! Anyway, this is Judy and Mary with Sobakasu.
Toyota,
Hanaka Oku with Kimi no Hana, which is the opening theme to this past winter's Seirin. And, you know, I've watched all 12 episodes of Seirin, and it's one of those shows where I don't know if I should recommend it or not recommend it for people to watch. I know when we were joking about this on your Wicked Anime thing, Andrew, on, like, the shows that you're watching, like, oh, watch Seirin. We jokingly like to call Awkward Boners the anime. But now, like,
oh, yeah.
But now watching the show, I'm like, I mean, there's some good aspects of it, but I feel like that it's one of those shows, like, even with this opening theme, when you watch it, it's like, it should have been a visual novel instead.
See, I stopped watching it after two episodes because I was just like, I hate the characters, I hate the premise, like, I know where this show is going, and right. I'm just not interested.
No, we had this conversation when we were following up on what we were watching, and I totally understand where you're coming from. Like, it's not a show that I could be like, everyone should watch. I'm like, this is like a very, very, like, genre-specific type of show. If Seirin was, like, a visual novel, like, after watching it, I was like, I'd play that, maybe.
To put it bluntly, it's masturbatory material.
Yeah. Okay. That is kind of, like, the best. I mean, not all of it is masturbatory, but there are some things, topics.
Less in, like, a sense of the verb and more of an adjective. Like, it's very masturbatory. Like, it's just like, oh, we know what we are and we're gonna keep doing it, like, kind of a thing.
Right. I do have to give it props a little bit because it showcases certain, I wouldn't call it fetishes, but, like, sorts of, like, things that characters like of sorts. But right. In the norm, like, there's a character in the show that admits to being a furry, and the characters don't, like, go, you're a furry, oh, gross. No, they're like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Interesting. I didn't make it that far, so I'm really not sure. All I knew was, like, that first character was a bitch, and I hated it.
So what all shows did you guys watch this season? Because I didn't watch any of them, so I know nothing.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. So,
I mean, I've heard things, but I know nothing.
So, yeah, I started watching Akiba Strip. Yeah, I watched Miss Kobayashi's Dragon. I watched Konosuba Season 2. I watched Masamune Kun's Revenge. I watched Gabriel Dropout. I watched Interview with Monster Girls. I watched Nyanko Days. I watched the continuation of All Out. And I watched the first episode of Kimono Friends. And I watched the first episode of... Or the first two episodes of Seirin. And the first episode of One Room. Did I say Gabriel Dropout?
Yes, you did.
Oh, okay.
So what all did you watch, Evan?
So I watched Akiba's Trip all the way through. I watched Fuka all the way through. Gabriel Dropout all the way through. All these are the shows that I've watched all the way through, basically. So I won't say that anymore. Interviews with Monster Girls, Konosuba Season 2, Koro Sensei Quest, Masamune-kun's Revenge, Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, Nyanko Days, Saga of Tanya the Evil, and Seirin.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the shows that we started watching this season, which was Masamune-kun's Revenge, mm-hmm. We started it off because we did our article on Nerdy Show for Wicked Anime, and we all said this is going to be one of the shows of the season to watch. I'm actually like two or three episodes behind now because I just don't care. I was just like after like
you after are- like. Going to care much, much less as you progress. Let me put it to you that way.
Because after episode 9, and they put like this twist in the show, it was supposed to be like, oh my gosh, look at what they did. And instead, what it did to me was just like, oh, well, I don't care anymore. They whoever wrote the original Masamune-kun's Revenge, I don't know if the manga is different or if it's actually true the material. But this anime, the anime for Masamune-kun's Revenge is so terribly written. They do not know how to write characters, and they do not know how to progress plot correctly at a proper pace. It's pathetic. It's just so bad. And which is really sad to say, because I really enjoyed the show at the beginning, and it's just so terribly written. I can't believe it.
Yeah, and it gets a little bit worse as it progresses. It's one of those shows, like, and I talked about a little bit about this on a previous episode of No Borders, No Race, where I initially started out by hating the protagonist, and then liking the protagonist, and then what we were talking about in episode 9, when that happened, and how he, like, treated the other girl, and that made me really hate him again. And then he just went kind of... He became a really, really big asshole. And it made me hard to be like, yeah, you should totally go get that revenge. I started feeling bad for Aki, actually.
Well, see, and the thing is his character does not stay true to what he's written to be. And see, and that's one of the problems when you're writing characters and you're writing a story, your characters have to stay consistent. And his character did not stay consistent.
And I feel like the problem with that was because that he got all his... The character got all his references from manga, and he's, like, quickly realizing that manga references don't exactly work. Which should be funny, but it doesn't quite work here.
And but even not looking this at a show perspective and looking at it as the meta. Like, let's look at the meta. And the thing is writing... Whoever wrote the show didn't write it in a believable sense. Like, me as an audience member watching onto the show, I don't believe that these characters have these motivations and are acting the way they do because of these motivations. It's just not believable. So, yeah, that Masamune-kun was good at the beginning. It had some really good promising premises, and then it lost the premise entirely and it had no idea what it's doing.
And just to prepare you in case you do finish it, it kind of ends on a fuck you note.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
let's talk about something that's less disappointing, because we're just kind of doing an overview of the season,
yes.
Right? Everybody should be watching one Interview with Monster Girls. That is the best show, one of the best shows.
Oh my god! I was legit sad when the final episode ended.
I haven't watched it yet.
You will feel like it is such a great episode, but then you're like, that's it? No, please give me more.
That and Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid is one of the best shows I have seen this season. It is. Out of this world.
And, absolutely.
I mean, of course there's Konosuba. Sarah, we know you hate Konosuba.
I do.
But Konosuba is an amazing show. Well, it's because she's wrong. That's fine. She's wrong.
I'm okay with being wrong because
it means
I get to enjoy things that you guys don't get to enjoy.
Like Yaoi.
like Yaoi and Hunter and
which,
for the longest
way,
time for the longest time Haikyuu as well.
Hey,
speaking of Hunter, I gave up on watching the Toonami dub last week.
Why?
Cause I found myself staring at my phone looking at Facebook while that was playing in the background, and I did watch the actual show.
Sarah. Have you watched All Out yet?
I watched a bit of it, but I still haven't finished it.
Okay, because you really need to watch All Out because, one, it's sports. Two, it's really gay. and not gay in, like, a yaoi kind of way. Gay in, like, a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure kind of a way.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so, well, it's a sports anime, so it's that kind of gay.
Yeah.
Where it's just like they're not really gay, but they're doing some really gay things, and they probably like shouldn't be.
Here, bend over this way, and let me get behind
bonding.
You while I grab your ball.
Yeah, male bonding, and some of the characters like I really don't get. Like I'm just like, why are they acting that way? That's really bizarre. But I love All Out. I think All Out was really good too. I'm still watching it. It's really. I think it's over now, but it was really fun to watch. I think there's one more episode, maybe.
I really, one of the things that I might have watched this season if I had, like, bothered to watch anything was the third season of Yao Mushi Petal, or, like, the fourth season. I think it's the fourth season.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's a biking anime.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So this is the one where they're like, and this is weird. I didn't think that they were going to go further, because the first few seasons, it's like all about the inter-high race, and that's it. And at the end, it like ends, the race is over, but now they're doing like next generation, where all the third years are now in university and they're still kind of following them, but they're also following like the second and first years who were left behind in high school, and like how they're rebuilding the teams after they lost, after they lost their upperclassmen.
So there's like no Tour de France season?
No, because they're all still high schoolers.
It's not that won't stop them from doing the Tour de France. This is anime, after all.
True, it is anime.
Anything that can be done with gay bicycles.
I think that Yaomushi Pedal is like, it's not as gay as some of the other ones, because
as gay. That's just so great.
Hey, come check out my big bicycle thighs. Ooh, feel how firm they are. Ooh.
No, because it's just like in Yaomushi Pedal, I think it's a lot of it has to do with the character designs. Yep. And how a lot of the character designs in Yaomushi Pedal are a little bit more weird, and how they just kind of look gross. I don't know how to describe it. But I also think it's because just the way that they characterize them, and they're like, they're not actually like having any kind of physical contact, because they're all riding their bikes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that helps.
Nice. That's
I'm like picturing
that is
like
the most hilarious description I've ever heard.
I'm picturing like the bicyclist wearing like the suit that Ned Flanders from The Simpsons wears when he's skiing, and it's just like it shows his entire body, especially his butt, and like it goes, feels like it's wearing nothing at all. Feels like I'm wearing nothing at all.
Yeah. Another show that I've actually been watching, which everybody should be like surprised. Naruto is ending this season, and I mean like Naruto Shippuden is ending.
So there long, is, farewell.
Yeah,
don't let like, the door hit your ass on the way out.
Naruto Shippuden made it to 500 episodes, and they're finally canceling it because next season Boruto starts. Which one? I am so freaking excited for. I am so
excited about Boruto too.
And two, the way they ended Shippuden is awesome. It's all the episodes leading up to Naruto and Hinata's wedding. It feels like so much like a daytime soap opera. It's just like, oh, guys, it's the wedding episode. You know, which I think is adorable, because I think Hinata and Naruto are adorable, even though it's not my OTP, whatever. that was like the nerdiest, most weebiest thing I've ever said, probably. But no, in all seriousness, I am a Naruto fan. But just like a normal Naruto, a casual Naruto fan, I should say. So just watching the story, and I think it's actually really cool that they decided to include that in the anime, because, you know, you had Naruto the Last, which Naruto the Last kind of left this dry taste in your, like this dry feeling in your mouth of like, I'm not satisfied with how that ended, especially because it's like, yeah, we get it. They got married and stuff, but they didn't actually show anything. So I think a creative way to actually end Naruto Shippuden is to end it with the wedding, because you didn't get to see that in any of the movies, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, which ultimately the wedding leads to the Boruto, or which leads to, you know, Boruto coming into existence, which leads up to Boruto the series.
Right.
You know, you can watch Naruto the Last, and you can watch Boruto the movie, because I believe Boruto the series is going to happen after Boruto the movie.
I hope so. I hope they're not going to do what they've been doing with Dragon Ball Super and just be repeating the film for like the first 10 episodes.
Well, so Boruto the manga has been coming out, and Boruto the manga is a monthly shonen manga in Shonen Jump magazine, just like Dragon Ball Super. And what they're doing is just illustrating the Boruto movie. They've been illustrating the Boruto movie for months now. And like, we're like, okay, we get it. Like we all saw the Boruto movie, and we get that you're illustrating the Boruto movie, but we don't want to see the Boruto movie. We want to see Boruto. So the manga at the moment is not doing anything except for the movie. So I really want to know what the anime is going to be doing, because the first 6 months of Dragon Ball Super, when that came out, was them just re-illustrating the movie. In TV series form, which was bull. So they better not be.
And I haven't seen the movies Battle of Gods and Resurrection F, but sitting through the last 12 weeks of Dragon Ball Super, I can kind of understand why people are so pissed off.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, now Dragon Ball Super is on its own original episodes and it has been for a long time, so
yeah,
they work through that. But I am excited for Boruto to be coming out, and the fact that Shippuden is ending is like a huge historic event because I was born when Naruto started. Do you understand that? Like, I actually saw the inception of Naruto and when new episodes were being released in the United States. When Naruto started, new episodes. Episode 1 of Naruto was a new episode. And 500 episodes later, not including the actual Naruto series, but Naruto, just Naruto Shippuden.
Yeah.
500 episodes later, it's ending. That is insane. I never thought I would see that. Ever.
You thought that they would milk that cow until it was long dead.
There was really no ending in sight. I mean, heck, yeah, I have all the Shippuden manga. Like, I have all the Naruto manga. Like, and that was great, and that ended a long time ago. But the TV series, that was a cash cow. So, like, the fact that it's ending is crazy.
Yeah. It's like if they were to finally end The Simpsons or something.
I think The Simpsons has more than 500 episodes.
I think it's almost up to 700 for them.
Jeez.
Yeah. It is way outstayed its welcome.
That's, I think, the only thing I have left to add for the spring season that I watched was not on Crunchyroll. And that's a show called, Urora.
The one that Sentai Filmworks has.
The one that Sentai Filmworks, I'm just trying to find, Urora Mirochu, or Mirocho. It's the show about fortune tellers. Like, it's a city filled with all women, and it's an all female fortune teller city, and people go to the city to be, but this is a story about four fortune tellers who are being trained to be fortune tellers, and you know, they all have their quirky, it's very moe, it's a very moe show.
I see pictures of it. It does look like a very cute series.
It's cute. Is it worth your time? It depends on if you like moe or not. If you like moe, then yes, it is worth your time. I'm watching it because I think it's entertaining. Is it a great show? Absolutely not. It's nowhere near like Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid or Interview with it. It's right. A time kill. It's a time. I'm wasting time. Like, I'm filling my time with Urora because it's cute. You know,
it's kind of like why we watch Nyanko Days. It's like, oh, 2 minutes. I could waste 2 minutes.
Yeah, but Urora is a half hour.
So, right. I get that.
Yeah, so I watch it before work starts or something like that. And just be like, oh, like, I'm not going to watch this before I go to bed because I want to watch something important then. But before I start work, yeah, I'll watch an episode of Urora. Yeah. So it's a fun watch with good gags, and that's about it.
So from this most recent season, what would you guys say are your must-watches?
Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, Interview with Monster Girls.
You just took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Like,
those two are the absolute
two that everybody should be watching. No questions asked. I'd even go so far as saying, even if you're not into anime, show these two shows. Because I feel like that not only are they very entertaining, but they actually kind of teach you some things.
Yeah, those two shows, if you are going to watch anything this season, it is, those two shows are already in the running for the wikis as best anime of the year.
No, that's what I was about to say too, because
straight up, there's gonna have to be some serious anime releases to beat out those two shows. They are absolutely amazing.
Yeah, which is weird because the same thing happened last year in the winter when we had both the first season of Konosuba and Erased.
Yes,
but with Miss Kobayashi Dragon Maid, it's funny. And you know, I gotta say, I forget who does the soundtrack to that show, but I find myself humming a lot of, like, the score when I'm bored.
Yeah, the show is so funny, and it's so cute, and it's so good at what it does, so.
It's, like, super original, too, how they showcase it, and I don't, and especially with Interviews and Monster Girls, because they actually use, like, science to describe why these girls are, like, vampires and Doulahans and Snow Girls. I know it's, like, fringe science, like that TV show Fringe was back in the day. But it does it in such a way that be like, oh, well, if these people existed, that's how they would be.
It's so good. It is so good. Like, they, and again, it's really cute, like unbelievably cute. It's I don't know how they do it, but they it's science. They're if you read the Wicked Anime article that we wrote on Nerdy Show, I have this whole spiel of how there's Japanese scientists who actually go through algorithms to make the cutest anime girl ever. They haven't perfected the algorithm yet, but they're getting pretty darn close.
All right. Although there's a lot of people that all right, because there's now like this battle, like my internal battle. Who's the cutest? Is it Hikari, the vampire girl in Interviews with Monster Girls, or is it the one that everybody's going crazy about for her adorableness, Kana from Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid?
Yeah, it's I don't know, dude. It's Sarah.
Yes.
Watch those. They're yes.
Awesome. That's why I was like, you know what? This will probably be good for me because then I won't have to sift through. Everyone's already done all the sifting for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah. I knew that everyone was talking about Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, and yeah. then I absolutely oh, yeah. at least had to watch that one.
Yeah. So watch Kobayashi and watch Interview with Monster Girls. Those two are amazing.
Are they on Crunchyroll?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
And I will say, too, because I was watching the dubs for both Interviews of Monster Girls and Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. For the most part, they're both really good dubs.
There's dubs?
Yeah, because Funimation.
I heard that there was some controversy surrounding Maid Dragon's
okay,
dub.
So the controversy, and I hope it is something that they fixed, because they've worded something very differently. And so Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, when Toru confesses her love to Miss Kobayashi, Miss Kobayashi in the Japanese dub says, but I'm a girl. Like, she, like, is confused at why Toru loves her. In the English dub, Miss Kobayashi goes, sorry, I'm not into girls.
But that was kind of what she was implying with, because she says, but you're a woman. And she's kind of implying, like, well, like, why would you like me because I'm a woman? And, like, that was kind of the connotation, but...
Because when you talk about it that way, when she says, but I'm a woman, that reminds me of Yaoi a lot, where he goes, but I'm a man. And it's it's more of the person, and in Yaoi, it's like, I don't understand why you're liking me because I'm a dude and dudes don't like dudes. But then he ends up liking him anyway because that's how Yaoi works.
Because that's how Yaoi works.
Yeah. There wouldn't be.
But you see, because the thing is when I watch Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, yes, there are some really clear lesbian themes in it, but I have always felt that Miss Kobayashi is just going along with Toru. And that to her friendship is just a clear friendship that she's allowing Toru to feel love for her. Because there's nothing... until they change it. When they finally change it up and say, yes, Miss Kobayashi's in love with Toru as well, then that's when it will change. But at the current moment, that's not the case. At the current moment, Miss Kobayashi is just going along with Toru.
Because I've actually been starting to read both the manga for Miss Kobayashi and for Interviews of Monster Girls. Yep. And they actually... The anime touches a lot more for both shows than the manga does. It's actually kind of interesting. There are things about the anime that come out a lot better than it does in the manga.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying the manga adaptations are bad. They're both really good. Like, for example, in Interviews with Monster Girls, so the episode where Machi and Takahashi-sensei go on a practice date so Machi can know what to do if she goes on a date and she only brings her head.
Yeah.
So, the anime actually shows more than the manga does.
Uh-huh.
The manga ends when Hikari does the boo poke.
Yeah.
And that's where the manga ends. It doesn't go into the part where Machi has to use the bathroom, and about her head's in one place and their body's in another place.
Interesting.
And it doesn't go into the deeper conversation that Machi has with Takahashi-sensei after that fact.
Cool. So that's really interesting. We could look into that as far as what they're doing. But yeah, oh man, that's crazy. So the manga and the anime are actually... Like, I've never actually seen it where the anime shows more than the manga.
Yeah, usually like the anime expands more of the ideas and such. And that's not the only one, because I've read all three of the current volumes of Interviews with Monster Girls, and I've read... Okay, so with Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, so you've been watching the anime, Which if it were to air on TV, would you say is TV 14? Would you say that?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. What do you think the manga is rated?
Well, I'm guessing you're leaning towards a TVMA or something like that.
All ages.
Really?
And they don't really change anything.
Interesting.
Like, you see some Dragon Girl butt, and there's a few other things, but it's labeled as all ages. Like, apparently anybody can read this.
Well, it is cute. I mean, yeah. And it's not meant to be sexual in any kind of way.
Right,
like, that
exactly.
was, that's the thing that, I've seen both about Interviews with Monster Girls and Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, is they're both very tasteful animes.
Yeah.
You know, they don't do anything overtly sexual, and they don't do anything that's not inappropriate for people. Now, granted, I wouldn't watch Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid with my grandmother, but...
Oh dear, what is those two kids doing to play with the Twister?
But yeah, I know, that's a little weird. But,
yeah, that is a little weird.
But there's nothing inherently wrong with what, like, anything they do in the show. It's just... it's normal slice of life with no sexuality at all, and it's really nice.
Yeah.
And as far as, like, the controversy goes, I really don't think there's any controversy, because in the show, Kobayashi has not explicitly said any kind of feelings towards Toru. Toru has only shown feelings towards Kobayashi.
And that's where
I stand with it.
Okay, because I do believe, because I, like I said, I've been reading a manga. They've only had the two current volumes. There is a chapter, I don't know if they're going to be animating this in the anime version, but there's a chapter where Toru's dad shows up.
They did hint at him in the last episode.
Yes, they did, but...
in episode 11. Yeah,
I don't know if they're going to be showing him off, but basically, Miss Kobayashi keeps the father from taking Toru back to his homeland and such.
All right.
And
we'll get to that later with no spoilers.
But what I wanted to say, too, with the whole all ages thing, considering that there's kids these days see so much, like, worse things, like violence and whatnot, especially when they turn on the news and such. A lot of the pictures, the nudity and stuff that you see in Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid is really tame in comparison.
Well, I mean, that's usually what you expect from manga, though. Like, the reason why kids pick up manga is because every once in a while they expect to see a butt.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, I mean, when I picked up my first manga, it was just like, oh, there's probably going to be sexy pictures in here. And that, well, there were. So, you know, like, it's just kind of what you expect.
Right. I remember when I used to read No Need for Tenchi, when it was actually issues and not the actual volumes of the manga. And, you know, once about, ooh, naked, 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 naked.
Oh, I love Tenchi.
Me too.
When is Tenchi season 4 coming out?
I have no idea, but when it does, I hope that they fix that opening theme song, because whoever is singing it is atrocious.
So of all of the anime that you guys watch this season, do you predict any of them being popular cosplays at Anime Boston?
I hope so. Yes, I hope that we see a couple of Dragon Maids.
I think there are. I think on the Anime Boston social, people are posting that they will have Kobayashi... Toru cosplays. Mm-hmm. As far as Interview with Monster Girls goes, not really, because it's just school uniforms with wigs. So we'll see. But
because Machi would be really hard to do.
Yeah, but I think we could expect to see some Dragon Maids if they put together their costumes fast enough. So we'll see.
It's possible.
It is possible. Yes.
Yes. So yes, the winter season has kind of officially ended. On to the spring season, where we've got Attack on Titan season 2. We've got My Hero Academia season 2.
Oh, yay!
It's awesome.
We've got a lot of great ones.
We got a lot of sequels. So many sequels.
I did finish My Hero Academia, by the way.
Did you?
Yes. And I loved it. I loved every second of it.
All Might is a true superhero.
Yes.
Like, everything that you want to be in a superhero, All Might is a true superhero.
There's no need to fear. Why? Yeah. Because I'm here.
Because, oh my god.
Like at the end of season one, when he shows up and he's just like,
and he's not smiling.
Yeah, because he's like, because I am here. And he's not smiling. You're just like, good God, this is the best anime I've ever seen. Because he's a true superhero. And so, yeah, it's amazing. And especially because it's really interesting because he's the depiction of like an American superhero. So, like, Japanese people have this really glorified depiction of an American superhero in a Japanese comic, and, like, that's a true superhero to them.
And
so
it's kind of flattering. Moves, like, it's the Texas Smash.
Yeah, Detroit Smash, which is hilarious because Detroit is Smash.
Yeah. Now I read someplace that they were finally out of bankruptcy after 25 years.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Now they'll have, like, the perfect amount to spend on the RoboCop statue.
Yes. Yes, they will. All right, we're going to take one more break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about who cringed last and what you can expect from it. So right now, how do I put it this lightly? What you're about to hear is something completely stupid.
Oh, okay.
Like really, really stupid. So the song that you're about to hear is called Red Battle. And the vocals on this song are of Rie Takahashi and Aki Toyosaki, who people will know as the voice actresses for the characters of Megumin and Yoon Yoon from Konosuba. What you're about to hear is a wizard rap battle between the two of them.
Yay.
Oh, God.
And it is on the Konosuba character song album, Ohakuzukushi no Utage ni Shikuhai wo. I tried as best as I could with this. All right, so this song is rap, Red Battle. And the only way I feel I could kind of redeem this song a little bit is by introducing it in this fashion. Epic Red Battle of History!
もう乗らない、その手に乗らない。危ないやつだとこの街でたくさん。なんかひどくない？それが何回だとしても何回言っても。なおなのって。
Seo with Don't Mind Lele Boy, which is one of the many end themes to that classic show, Ranma One Half. And I still will say that female Ranma has the best anime smile out of anybody.
Ranma One Half is true Ranma waifu.
Yes. True Ranma waifu. Even though we know it's going back and forth between boy and girl, we don't care.
Ranma is best girl. Ranma is best girl. You know, he makes the cutest girl out of all those girls. That's a lie, though. Ukyo has always been my favorite from Ranma.
Which one was Ukyo again?
Ukyo is the fiance that makes the taiyaki or the Japanese pancakes.
Oh, her. Oh, yeah. She is cute.
I love her. She's great.
I love Ranma One Half. Them and their really weird 80s fashions.
Yes. So good.
Everyone's wearing those gym shorts where if they, like, cross their legs wrong, a ball will properly pop out.
Oh, Evan.
Hey, it's true. It's true. People had no idea how short those short shorts were. And then when they crossed their legs and something popped out, they'd be like, we should probably not be wearing these anymore.
Yeah, they didn't have science back in the 80s, so they did not have gym shorts.
No, they had science, but they were blinded by it, so they couldn't see how short their gym shorts were.
Oh, that's so good. Yes. Sarah doesn't understand these 80s references because she's so young.
Yes, I'm actually have my hands in the air right now. I'm doing the, yeah, I'm a champion with that joke. Yeah, I'm the winner with that one.
I do enjoy some vintage female sports anime and all the gym outfits they wear in that. Because I'm like, these aren't like modern volleyball uniforms at all, but they're wearing like panties, basically.
It's almost like underwear. And the thing is, like, when I was in, not to be going too far off topic, but when I was in high school on the track team, those were what we had to wear on our cross country team. And I would always have to, like, battle to make sure nothing popped out as I was attempting to run because I would get shin splits all the time.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, that was fun. All right,
actually, before we continue, I just want to point out that in between the breaks, that Sarah did point out an artist that really piqued my interest that I really want to go check out, and that is the Fox T illustrations.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, she makes some gorgeous art, and I really, really want some Kitsune art from her.
It's good, and the wall scrolls are really good quality, as I mentioned during the break. I have two of them, and I love having them hanging up in my house. They're really sturdy and well-made.
Cool.
Yes, they're gorgeous. We're looking at the ones of Unmasked and Wish. They're awesome.
They are awesome.
So shout out to them.
Buy from them if you're in Anime Boston.
Yes, absolutely. So, and speaking of Anime Boston, to end with this, let's talk about this panel that we've been working on. So for our listeners, we came up with the idea for Who Cringed Last back in 2013. We were all having lunch. We were just starting to become really good friends. And we were talking about how awesome the hardcore anime panel was. You were showcasing a lot of the things that you were doing. And I don't know if it was me or if it was Jonathan that said, yeah, it'd be really funny if we did this as a game show.
I think that was you. You have definitely been the forefront and the hive mind behind Who Cringed Last Inception and its full on, you know, full speed ahead locomotive action.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh. All right. So with Who Cringed Last, the idea was to have a game show based on all the hardcore anime, which would be, like, as we said in the beginning of the show, a sister panel to the Wicked Anime Hardcore Anime. So the idea was to start out with 10 contestants, and we would quickly slash it to 5, then 4, 3, 2, and so forth. So we would have, like, a quick elimination for the first round. We would have observational questions for a second round. Then we have something that I am very proud of, which is tentacle, demon, or superhuman, where people have to guess how a character meets their demise, which of the three is the one that kills them. And then there's the one that I do believe that you, Andrew, are going to be like the main host of in the round because of you being the main artist, and that is Draw That Sound.
Yeah, which your art skills really aren't going to be any kind of factor in it at all. It's all going to be about what you draw and what the judges will think is the best. Mm-hmm. We do, in fact, have a panel of judges being on this thing so that we do actually have a... opinionless and non-biased outlook on the contestants that are participating in Who Cringed Last.
Yes. And then after that, the final two contestants face off in a cringe-off.
Yes, and that is one contestant at a time will be... I can't remember if... I have the rules in front of me. Or with me, and I'll just have to look it over. But it's either the contestants go over these questions individually, or they go over them at the same time, and the first one to answer gets more points. Mm. But basically, we go, and they get a couple questions from each round. So you basically do the entire show again, but only like one or two questions from each round, and the person who ends up with the most points wins.
Yeah.
I think they're in the... I'm pretty sure they're in the room at the same time for those.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And the first one to answer gets more points.
Yes.
And the player with the most points at the end wins some really amazing prizes.
Okay, so... But first and foremost, for, like, those that are... that don't make it in, like, for the main five that don't make it in, we have a nice grab box of anime and manga, which have been up in my attic for how many years now?
Four years.
Some really cool out of print anime and manga that you can pick from. But the grand prize winner, oh man. First and foremost, big shout out to our buddies over at Manga Gamer for sending down a couple of titles. We have Euphoria, which if you take pleasure in Euphoria, there is something totally wrong with you.
Well, excuse me. That's a lie. I've never played Euphoria, but I know what it is.
Yes.
Sarah, do you know what Euphoria is?
Yeah, no.
Good.
I do not.
I don't know if you should. You'll see it eventually because you'll be at the panel, but
yes.
It's a pleasure. It is a pleasure.
It is a pleasure. And the other one that we have, because there might be a third, it's not guaranteed. We're still working on the third title. And the other one we have is Beatblade Haruna, which is another visual novel of sorts about ninjas. Woo. And ninjas having sex. You'll never see them coming.
And it's Alisoft. Yes. So just so you have some reference, Alisoft is like one of the most famous and biggest games of not just visual novels, but H visual novels in particular. Like they have the Rants series. And Rants is like a huge name in visual novels and specifically erotic visual novels. And so this game is in fact an Alisoft title, which is a major, major title from Manga Gamer.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you will definitely enjoy that one.
Hopefully.
Hopefully we'll enjoy that one if you're into that sort of thing. And there might be, like I said, there might be a third one. I can't really say what the title is, but it's kind of incesty.
Oh.
Kind of?
Well, I haven't played it, so I can't say if it's... All I know is there's incest involved in some way, shape, or form.
Yay. What?
Yeah. Anime.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Woo. We did a whole history of that on our show.
Yeah, we did. Then we also have, from our good buddies at Sentai Filmworks, they sent us down this complete series of Another...
Mm-hmm.
Corpse Party, the OVA series.
Uh-huh.
And season one of Higurashi, When They Cry.
All shows featured in the Hardcore Anime Panel.
Yes, which is why it's perfect for us to give away. Now, I know what you might be thinking. These shows are really gonna screw me up after I watch them. How am I going to return to society and learn how to feel? Well, Sentai Filmworks has also sent us season one of Non Non Biori and season two of Kin Moza. The giveaway. Yeah. Will you learn how to feel in love again?
or just some eye bleach.
Yeah, or some eye bleach. And we also have a Steam code for Senran Kagura Estival Versus to give away.
Yay! It's so fun.
It is super fun. And I said Steam, so you know what that means. There's going to be some mods, I'm sure, that you can put to the game when it comes out.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So we've got some pretty good backed prizes to give out, and we've got some. It's a lot of prizes. So if you play the game, you will most likely end up walking away with something pretty cool.
Yes.
If you don't get eliminated immediately. Because I'm sorry, but if you get eliminated immediately, unfortunately, you get nothing. But if you make it into the top five, you will get something.
Absolutely. And those that are just going to be sitting down and watching, we promise you will have a very good time. There's no reason for you to walk out and leave the door.
Should be plenty of laughs.
There will be plenty of laughs. The doors will be locked, so there's no way for you to get out. It's going to be a good time.
We promise not to set the room on fire while you're locked in, because the hardcore anime panel is in there after, and we do want you to see it.
Yes. Then we'll set the room on fire afterwards.
That's right. Woo!
So yeah, I am very excited. I'm scared, but I'm very excited, because this is the first time I'm hosting something.
Yes.
Or co-hosting something, because it's the three of us, it's Jonathan, it's the Manga Gamer people helping out too. It's going to be a blast.
I am also very scared, because this is an untested panel. Like, we've done dry runs with the panel that we have ready to go, but
yes.
We've never actually done this in a panel setting at a convention.
Yep. This is basically, we never play test this, the card game, in a panel form.
So, as long as everything goes smoothly without a hitch, it will be a great time.
Yes.
I hope that is very reassuring to you.
I hope that you're all going to have a good time. And I hope that you're 18 or older when you come to this as well, too, because we don't want any of the youngins to check out what we're going to be showcasing, because we will emotionally scar you.
Therapy. Woo.
Therapy.
Yeah.
Therapy. Advertising causes hate. Therapy.
Advertising causes hate. Yeah. That is our game show that we will be doing this year.
I am so. I can't wait. I can't believe we finally managed to get it accepted. We put it in for 2014, it got waitlisted and declined. So we put it in for 2015. It got waitlisted and declined. So we put it in for 2016. It burnt down, fell over, sank into the swamp, and then got waitlisted and declined. But the fourth time, it stood strong and got accepted. I'm kind of practicing what I might be saying online on the show, FYI. So yes, who cringed last? Saturday, 11 p.m. in room 310 at the Heinz Convention Center in Boston. Followed by the hardcore anime panel.
Ooh, yay!
It is going to be so good. Barf brag self separately.
Yeah, we don't provide those, because if you feel the need to barf at our panel, you're a bitch and you shouldn't be there.
No pussies allowed.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome. I can do that because I'm the girl.
Yeah.
No, we can do it too. It's just that we don't know the right tone to say it in.
I got you covered.
Thank you very much.
Bring your own bags, pussy.
So, yes. Anime Boston happening this Friday to Sunday. I can't wait. This was like the first convention I went to back in 2008, and I've been going ever since. It is a blast. It is the one that everybody on the East Coast should go to,
even if you're not on the East Coast, right? Because we have one of our fans from across the states is coming to Anime Boston this year to hang out with us for the weekend.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a blast.
Mm-hmm. Is Frostbeard coming too?
He is not.
Oh, Frostbeard!
Yeah, Frostbeard the Porn Master Sean is not coming.
Oh man,
to
you
Anime
see,
Boston.
Frostbeard the Porn Master would just be perfect for a Who Cringe Last.
Yeah, really, honestly, like, well, honestly, we have a lot of fans that would really be perfect to help us out on a lot of stuff, so.
Yeah. No, I just want to dress him in a purple wizard outfit and just spray him with, like, a fog machine as he walks out. That's all I that's all I want him for. Then he can just walk out.
You hear that, Sean? There you go. Great.
No, I've actually told him that before, and he said, I'll do it.
I know he will.
All right, so that wraps up this special episode of No Borders No Race, the pre-anime Boston special. And maybe can I say officially the end to the con month, or should we say that con month will continue onward with our anime Boston coverage next month?
We do have one more episode of con month for Wicked Anime, and that is our wrap up for Anime Boston, the one we do where we sit in the press room and talk over Skype.
Right, which is kind of like the second half, because we do the first half on our Boston Bash Brigade site, and then the second half on the Wicked Anime site. And then
we won't get kicked out this year.
I think we'll be okay. And then for the next few weeks, you'll hear probably a bunch of interviews. We're going to have videos. We got our buddy D-Rock, who is going to be helping out on my end. And you might actually see D-Rock, too, in the Hardcore Anime panel in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, I'm so excited. He's so cool.
And it's going to be so neat.
Such a good guy.
Yes. So normally I would say I would like to end with our usual shameless plugs. Should we end with our usual shameless plugs, or should we just end it with the final song?
Let's just end it with the final song. Everybody should know who we are by now, and if not, we'll be back.
We'll be back next week with the first half of our post-Anime Boston 2017 coverage. The last song you're going to hear is from the singer Lin, who I know a lot of people will be familiar with her as the main lead in the show Keijo. And this past season, she played the character Fuka Akitsuki in the show Fuka, which I liked, but I know that it's kind of a mixed bag. And although a lot of people were like, they didn't do something to the Fuka character that happened to the Fuka character in the manga for good reason. I don't know if any of you have read Fuka.
No, I haven't. Yeah. I haven't started it yet.
Okay, so. Because I had something spoiled about Fuka that really pissed me off. But fortunately, the thing that happened that pissed me off doesn't happen in the anime.
Interesting.
So, anyways,
that's something.
Yes. So what you're about to hear is Lin doing the opening theme to the show, her version of the opening theme of the show, and that song is called "Climbers High," and I love this song. I think it's really cool. I didn't even know how good of a singer Lin was, because the only song I heard her ever do was like the end theme to Keijo, and that's her being, you know, kind of cutesy and such. She's got pipes.
Yeah.
She's got real pipes. And I hope that if she actually does more of a singing career, that she goes like a rock route.
Cool.
Yes. So this is Lin, Climbers High, the Fallen Moon version from the Fuka Sound Collection. So, until Anime Boston, this is your King David Dr. Morgo.
Andrew from Wicked Anime.
What did you believe her?
Reminding you that Anime Boston's happening this weekend. You should all to a week off.
Oh, you got us there.
Replace the life, go, 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 Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.